I'm Bernie Chibuka. On my podcast, the Ugandan Boy Talk Show, I've had an honor to sit down with some of the most incredible hearts and minds from Uganda, like Miss Uganda Oliver Nakakande, Joram Ozoi Job, the Executive Director of Joram Model Management, Pastor Wilson Bugembe, and many, many more. On this podcast, you get to hear raw and real life stories of their journey, what they've been through, and the people that have inspired their journey so that they can make a difference in ours. Listen to the Ugandan Boy Talk Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Join the journey soon. Yeah, I got it. Adi, you know...
How is fatherhood?
Fatherhood is good. Fatherhood is going well. I enjoy learning things as we go. You know, sometimes I forget that I post these things on Instagram. So when people ask me that, I find it shocked.
Yes, you know? Who are you? Yeah. Why do you know this very private information?
I know. But then I'm like, I post these things so everybody sees it. So like, I catch myself off guard. I'm like, how do they know?
Yeah. There's something about being on these platforms. You see, when you see a musician, with musicians or actors, you don't build such a personal relationship with them. Mm-hmm. But when you're on these platforms, you interact with people in real time. Right. So you build personal relationships with them. You see people say, I was talking to someone today and they're like, oh yeah, I think that's the week you didn't have a car. You had told us that you took your car to the garage. I was like, yeah, what? good.
That's funny. Because people remember these things. Even when you post it and you forget, somebody sticks out to somebody's head. It's like, oh, I remember when you said this. Oh, and
yes. Yes. So here I am invading your privacy and asking you how the baby is. How's she doing?
She's doing good. 2 months old. She'll make 3 months on August 13th. Yeah.
Yeah, so that must be exciting.
Yeah, she is exciting. She's now smiling.
Are you sleeping?
I'm sleeping. The wife is not sleeping, though. So, I mean, she's at home. So here in America, they give them like a long maternity leave. So I only took like 2 weeks off. Then I went back to work. But like for them, they get a longer one. So she's able to do that.
That's amazing. That's nice.
So I get to sleep in the night and then she takes care of the baby. And then when I come back home and then I do the day shift.
You take your shift. Yes. Yes.
Yep.
That's awesome.
But yeah, Prem, welcome back to my podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. You've grown. You've grown so much.
I know.
I'm so proud of you.
Grown as the podcast or grown as a person?
As a podcast.
Okay.
As a person.
Yeah.
As a podcast.
I know.
I'm so happy.
Yeah,
this platform is out there, and it's called, it's a tribute to home.
Exactly. And I tell people all the time, because this is a way I connect to Uganda. This is a way I connect to home. I want to be able to talk to people back home, listen to our stories, interview people, laugh. It's everything for me. It's like therapy. It's like makes me not feel homesick, because every time I talk with you guys who are there, it makes me feel like I'm there with you.
Yeah, you talked about it being like therapy and your connection back home. So today I was telling people how my border guy calls me and he says, "Nkubidako," and hangs up. So someone sends a message like, "Hey, this reminds me of people who say, Jaja food day." And they you know, they're serving on minutes and airtime. Yeah. So they're like, you're left wondering which Jaja of which side, of Tororo, of Mitiana, of where? Someone says that sometimes someone just says Jaja. You just hear like a phone hanging up. They just hear the word Jaja, and that's it. So it was so funny because Ugandans do get Batukira Kum song. Have you noticed? Like, and that's it.
Yeah, I saw that story today.
Uganda.
Like, I saw they don't even greet. Tabus and Akubus. I have people.
No, nothing.
They call me on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Like, WhatsApp. They don't even first check to know what time it is. They forget there's things like time difference.
I know, as if you're seated with a box of money like here and you just
or even like sometimes when they get it right during the day, you at work. and they just call out of the blue. Tagala kumanya obo oliwa, oli kumulimu obo oli, akubira natukira ku nsonga ejayagala like that.
Eyamulese, tagala mubuza.
Ayinza kuddamu kubuuza neerabira ekyamulese.
Uganda is a hilarious country.
That is funny. But the last time I had you on the podcast was really good conversation, getting to know you, knowing about the things you do. We got to talk about a lot of other things for people who missed the earlier episodes about herself. This one is not going to be about herself. So if you want to know about that, you revisit the one we did earlier. I'm so happy. You talked about my podcast growing, but I'm so happy about your guys' show, The Unpopular Opinion. That's where I wanted to start without ignoring
that.
Thank you. It's like, I feel proud. You guys just did a live show. I'm going to ask you about the experience of that. I wanted to hear your personal experience. But watching the live show and reading you guys' stories, you know, somebody, I think it was either Fiona or Claire who said, when you guys got to the venue, it looked like you were just amazed at how people decorated it.
Yeah.
How was the experience with that?
Yeah, it was, my God, it was phenomenal. It was, oh my God, when we got to the audience, like I'll never forget walking into the room. I will never forget that for as long as I live. You know, like we built something from nothing, like nothing existed, like in like space. We built something, we built a community. It felt like, for us, it was an affirmation to everything that we are doing. It was a testament to believing in your dreams. It was a testament to touching lives. It was a testament to our purpose. It was a testament of how far we've come as a country, as a generation, this generation of millennials and you know, like a few, like a number of Gen Zs. It was a testament to where we are going, to where we're going as a people.
I saw clips. Are you guys going to post it on YouTube at some point?
Definitely. Yes, definitely. It should be coming up this coming Saturday.
Because I saw clips and stories I follow of you guys and people who were there, who attended these small videos that they reposted. It was amazing. It was really cool. I didn't get to hear the whole whatever you guys were talking about because it was just a 15-story video that you would see pictures. But from the pictures and from what people were sharing, the excitement, it looked really amazing. I can't wait to watch it when it comes out.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to hear about the live show. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you, it came up today. It was in my head. I'm like, Naye, how does Prim get time to answer all our DMs? Because I know I requested to come back in the podcast. Nti, you even have these topics you put out there and people respond. How do you manage that? That was my question I was going to ask you, Nti.
Two stories about fathers that I'm running. I have like hundreds of DMs that I have to post. But obviously, there's like a story limit to Instagram. And then there's people who went to the question box. And I have to post all those. But let me tell you something. I can't even tell you that, oh, this is what I do. I put time aside, blah, blah, blah. But to whom much is given, I feel like when God gives you a gift or when he gives you something, he equips you. He equips you with ways to handle it. You know how they say, angel of teremere wa masanga gayo. Yeah, I think that's what I can say. That I feel like God has given me that grace and he has equipped me with the grace to do this. To be able to respond to messages. But that doesn't take away from the fact that I slack in other areas. Like WhatsApp, honestly, it's so hard for me to respond to people on WhatsApp. So now my friends who had figured it out, will come to my Instagram. They come and DM me on Instagram. And I respond after leaving them on unread on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So there'll be other areas in your life that suffer. But I do try to find a balance. But I feel like God just keeps equipping you with the grace to do it.
That's true.
And I do respond. I try as much as possible to respond to almost everyone that sends me DMs. When I'm running stories like today, like serious topics or something, I'll get up to 300 messages. But like on just normal days, you know, just gallivanting here. And they're like maybe 100 people.
The reason why I asked you that question, because we have friends, we have people. You send them a DM, they didn't even read it. Then I'm like, if Prim could get 300 DMs, and she still responds to you on time and she says it. How do you do it? Because other people, they might even get like 15. Like, I'm Munanga, I had a lot of DMs. I didn't get to it.
I feel like it would be unfair to compare because maybe this is not like their priority, right? It's not like Instagram and social media and whatever. Like their purpose is in other things,
right?
And they divert their energy. For me, my purpose is in using this platform to reach as many people as possible, and that's why I respond to DMs.
Yeah, I think that's a good aspect to look at or to think about, because I might not have thought it like that, but that is true that you mentioned that. And now, speaking of stories and speaking of these topics you put out there, I love them. I love them a lot. And I'm one of the people that read each and every story you put out there because I want to know people's stories and learn from them. And yes, having you on the podcast here means a lot to me because I've also used some of the stories you've shared here to create some topics on my podcast and to react to them, to talk about them. And this time around, you shared a really touching topic to me. I mean, most of them have been, like even the one today for dads, it was amazing. But the one you just shared recently about what is the future you want, I watched that. Early morning, I was walking into work. I think it was and I was going to work and I saw it. I looked at it and listening to your first beats where you talked before you started having people getting involved in it, that stood out to me to listen to everything that you had said. And that's the reason why I reached out to you. I was like, hey, this could be a good topic to talk about. I know a lot of Ugandans out there, this could be something important for them to listen to. Lot of them might be on Instagram, or even Instagram might limit how you can express yourself or what you want to say. Or even to the people that responded back to you, like what you can respond to them, it might be limited to type and all that. So I was like, oh, I can have you on the podcast and we kind of just go through that. I have a few responses that I screenshot from the stories. That stood out to me that we wanted to talk about. But before we go into that, when you started that story, you said this is something you wanted to talk about a long time ago, but you kept deleting this post or story all the time over and over. What was the reason why you kept deleting it, and what was the reason why you finally decided to post it?
Man, first of all, when I say just how much I love this country, it makes me so emotional. I love this country to the core. Like, I've never thought of moving. I've never thought of relocating. I've always felt like, let us stay here and make it better. Like, if other people have moved, good for them. And I understand why you're moving. But let us stay here and do something. Okay. It's like your kid's going away to study. And you decide that, oh, let me clean the house, you know, let me clean the house so that they find a clean house, right? So when people relocate from Uganda, I would love to stay and clean the house. I'd love to stay and so that when you guys come back home, you find something and we can all sit around a table one day and say that we did it. Mm-hmm. You did it. You sent money back home and that money was utilized. Like, guys, see, you found nice roads. See how you're now seated in such an... you have access to basic medical care. Look at the things we did when you left. Look at the things you did. Look at how, you know, your money supported this country. I love Uganda. I love Uganda. And I don't know if you've seen my stories on patriotism, where I was telling people that love is what changes things. Love is what changes people. It's what changes places, right? And and most times I'm always telling my friends that we cannot, like, when we travel or when we go somewhere and people are just like, oh, Banangi, I can't believe you guys have this. Banangi, I hate Uganda because we don't have this and that. I'm like, please don't say that. Like, I'm always telling people, don't say you hate Uganda around me. Don't. Mm-hmm. Like, it triggers me so much. But yet I also understand where they're coming from.
Right.
I understand where they're coming from. But for me, I love this country so much. And lately I'm getting to a place of helplessness. So when I did those stories, I was airing out the helplessness. But I also know that that platform has a lot of people watching. And I didn't know how many people are going to misinterpret it, especially the fact that I was pointing out the problems of my employer.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
My employer being the government.
Right.
And I'm like, who will come out and say, oh, you know, because it's my job. So I took it down so many times. But I remember telling God that, give me the right ways to like just say this out, this the right, like in a way that, you know, won't ruffle feathers or whatever, but in a way that just appeals to whoever is watching and can do something. I want them to also feel the pain of bearing this love, you know, love, you know, like loving someone to like the point of heartbreak. And we're just really heartbroken. Mm-hmm. We are heartbroken. You like, you know how you, like your love lets you down. So,
I like the way you brought it, because I know I was going to say something that these days when you say something, not necessarily negative, or when you say something like that, the world sees it as you're against the government, or looks at it as political. But it didn't come off that way. It's, you can still address things that are not right, but not being political and not being against the government, which it's things that you talk about, like daily life, what people go through.
Because what politics does is divide us, because in politics is where we see ourselves as, you, your team this and I'm team that. And yet, at the end of the day, I feel like we should just all be team Uganda. Mm-hmm. Regardless of who you support, we are team Uganda. What the core of our very existence should be the love for our country.
Right.
Not, oh, you wear yellow, I wear blue, you wear pink, you wear, you know, whatever colors. Because at the end of the day, you find that we are divided for the wrong things. Mm-hmm. You understand? We are divided for the wrong things. Let us be divided about where to put the hospital. Mm-hmm. You get like, oh, if this hospital is serving the people of Kampala district, should we put it in Rubaga or Mengo? Mm-hmm. How easy of access is it? Like, those are things that we should probably be debating and dividing, but not the party signs, mm-hmm. not a bag and a hole and a chikonde and, you know, like not those things.
Right.
I feel like politics, what politics does is divide us. That's why I try as much as possible. If you notice, I steer away mm-hmm. from politics. I try not to talk about it.
Right.
And I remember when I did those topics, I had a few people coming up to say, that day I was like, I never picked you to be the kind of person who's interested in such things. Mm-hmm. You look like you're just about clothing. Mm-hmm. And I not want to, I actually do care for these things. I follow them. I read, I do what, but I just try to steer clear, to sort of leave, you know, so that everything, because everything about me is just, what can we do for our country? I do not care where you come from. I do not care who you support. But what can we jointly mm-hmm. do for our country?
No, that is true. And that's the same way I am. I'm not political, but I really love Uganda. I care about Uganda. And when it came to time to choose the name of the podcast, I wanted to choose the Ugandan boy, because I'm always going to be Ugandan wherever I am. Even now that I live in the U.S., I'm still Ugandan. Techigenda kuvao. And I'm concerned, and I really love our stories. And that's why when I choose a podcast, I want to host people to share our stories. So even the people in America who listen to my podcast, they can hear our story. And maybe that we can help or change lives, especially for the people back in Uganda. So I love stories like this that help us be better and change. We might not be able to do everything, but at least when we talk, maybe something will get done. When you started talking in that segment too, you mentioned about back in the 2000s, maybe Twalibato, and you say that like life was at least not great, but was better than what it is right now, you know?
I enjoyed the early 2000s. I enjoyed the early 2000s so much. The security was good. Mm-hmm. You know, it was so rare. Like, I look back and I'm like, How did we trust to leave windows open and people never broke into houses?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, even the thieves were polite. They'll come and greet you and say, Mama, we are to me a pasi. They would greet you. The thieves would come and say, good morning. Mama, we are to me a pasi vinjitwari. That, like, now, when you hear stories like, omuntu bamu bie at the bypass, like in the bypass, like broad daylight, mm-hmm. you're like, what? Mm-hmm. Eh? What? You know, like they rob you and abantu way, but it's not like it's you're in a dark corner, you're walking alone. No, I enjoyed the fact that we used to play up to, like, now it's 8:30. Like, it was a very safe. Those were safe times. Those were good times. There were no phones, but I was telling people recently that my dad used to go to the market. You get. And toina womunonya in case anything happens.
Right.
But people were honest. You know, right. they used to wear like matawo with their numbers. And the only thing my dad probably would have of that like a bike rider is that he was wearing number 34.
Right.
People were honest. You get. But right now, with technology and everything, you'd think that things are improving. But like omuntu ayagala kubire ne kusimu, they are stealing from people like
yeah.
on phones. You get.
Yeah. And that is funny. Actually, that reminds me one of the topics you did, and I did a podcast about that, like scamming. The stories about people getting scammed in Uganda. I did a podcast about those stories, and it was funny. Like,
I remember. Oh my god!
Those stories were funny, and if anybody's listening and they've never got that, we reacted to some
Please
of those stories.
Please watch that one. That episode.
That was funny. But also, there is another thing you talked about, and before we go into people's reactions, there is something that touched my heart that you shared. I never got to hear about it. It's about the kid with autism that was kicked out of the Millennium Park. You shared that. I wanted to ask you more about that. Like, what happened and why was the kid kicked out?
So I know her. I know the mom personally. And they had gone to a kid's park. And, you know, like her daughter is autistic and she's swimming, what? And then the manager of the hotel comes to her and says that, you need to take her home. She's like, but I've come with other kids, okay? So how about them? Because they're like, the other kids are not comfortable. Even the parents, some of the parents are not comfortable. I was like, what do you mean they're not comfortable? Because she was swimming. They're like, she was swimming. She's okay. She knows how to swim. I mean, she even sent us a video. She's like, you guys see her that day. See her minding her business. See her swimming. And just, she's like, yeah, you can take this one, but you can leave the other kids. She's like, what? Anyway, and I remember her losing her mind, as in, like, just telling this man, like, what the hell? Why are you trying to treat my child in such and such a manner? So that's just, I'm just giving you the context of the right. story. So I remember calling her. I think I called her or texted her after, and I told her, I hope that at no point do you gaslight yourself or have someone gaslight you, saying things like, oh, you overmade noise. Because I went to Twitter, when it was posted on Twitter, I went to Twitter to follow the thread. And the comments were so nasty and mean. I saw some comments of people saying things like, totule kanida nawe. You build your own swimming pool. And I was like, oh my God, therein lies the problem. This is where our problem is. The fact that, I don't know if you ever heard of that lugero of those days, that Edda, orumbe weruwa jange wa neighbor we, you'd feel like, it's not at my house. You know? We don't care about what's happening in the neighbor's house because we feel like that will not be me. And that's something we've done so well as middle class, right? Each time traders have gone ahead to strike for increase in taxes or prices or what, we felt like, none of my business.
Right.
Drive your car with AC to work the following day, right? Because they are not touching you. They are not touching where you're getting your food from. We are comfortable. When you know there's like a strike somewhere, people are like, manang, boda men disturbing us. Now these people who are striking disturbing us. We don't care about what's happening at the neighbors because we feel like they're chili wafe. But until the Baganda there's a way that Baganda put it. I love the Baganda so much.
Yeah.
I love their culture and the manners and well, and I'm into that. So there's a way they put it that we're chili to kewo, like chimalane to kewo. Because if it's, let's say, measles and it's at the neighbors, but you're like, oh, it's the neighbor's kids who are, you know, getting it. I don't care. You know, you feel like, let's not help. When they're saying vaccine, you're like, let's not help. Until it reaches at your house and this time around it kills. You understand? It doesn't even leave anything in its wake. It kills, unlike what happened. That's when you wake up and say, oh, I should have taken a stand on this.
Right.
Oh, I should have done better on this. So when a swimming pool saying, let her build her own swimming pool, I was like, eh. And also the fact that these people, they continue to operate like, nothing. Like maybe with just a small, a statement out of, yes, we apologize for the incident that happened, or we had earlier that an incident happened with one of our managers, but we've taken time to train each and everyone at the hotel on how to treat people better. And I'm like, it's like sad.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that you use your platform to speak out for the people who are voiceless and being like a voice of that. And you go ahead and let those places know, like if this company did this song, it's like, hey, I didn't really like the services you did on this thing and this, and then they would change that because maybe that lady with her daughter, she might not have the energy or be able to go and speak to them. But I like that you use that platform you have for these kind of people and these kind of things. And it breaks my heart when I listen to it, when you share it, it's like, really, that happened? And like,
oh, it was a real thing. Went around for a minute.
Yeah, I understand that maybe people in Uganda might not be familiar with autism, and their perception of autistic kids is different.
No, it's a conversation that we are just starting to have. I don't even know if we're having it enough. No, we are not familiar with. We're not really familiar with mental health. Mm-hmm. We're not familiar with autism. We're not familiar with Down syndrome. We're not familiar with a lot of people things. But you see, you also cannot blame people because the information has not been there, and there's that whole, I mean, it's not happening to me. Why would I have to find out this information? You understand?
Yeah.
Like, most people feel like, if it's not happening to me, then where am I finding out? And yet, this is information that we just need to equip with ourselves every day as just basic human beings. Mm-hmm. How to be kinder to, you know, to, like, say, people with special needs, you know, that's that sort of thing. People with mental health, you know, issues. Yeah.
And actually, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because when we go to the people's reactions, when people started responding to the question you asked, you put out there, I remember one of the first two people, their response was like, they want a future where the information is availed on all platforms and they don't just fall on it by mere chances. Like, if they put it out there, okay, this is how we're going to train autistic kids, or like, putting that information out there so they can educate these people on some of the things.
Let it be a must in every service provision environment.
Mm-hmm.
Let it, like, when you're training hotel staff, train them how to handle people with babies,
mm-hmm.
how to handle people with special needs, how to, you know, like, anyone in the hospitality business, anyone in public service. By public service, I mean you interact with people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not behind in the bank. Anyone who interacts with people, you have some clients who you know who have like a bit of a mental health problem, who have like you need to be able to let us be trained so that you can look at someone, interview them, and be like, okay, I think this person could be having this and that. This is how I'm going to handle them. As long as you deal with people in the public space, we should have this information. So when someone says that they want a future where information is availed, I think that's such a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's such a really, really good thing. And when I say that I miss the early 2000s, this is what I miss. Government, when government would be having schemes, or they're going to do something, Radio Uganda would write for communication. Ojukira nti nedda. Do you know that people would actually show up for barriers through Bidango?
Exactly.
Did you ever hear about
that? That's the thing that was in my head. Yeah, practically came Bidango. Like, you had to listen to it.
Yes, Radio Uganda, ngabantu bali nde Bidango, kusawa kumawida gesawa musambu, wabedao segment ye Bidango, abe kire, abe kaya so and so, abe rugazi, what, and people would show up for the barrier. Like, it was so organized, and shockingly, people would get to know information. So, TVs, zaringa zisa, or government, agenda kubala census, we are going to have population census, or kufanga this, mpaka this, bana yabantu mubakirize, mayumba gamwe, blah, blah, blah. You remember, right?
Yeah. I do.
But someone else raised a point during that segment that Prim also here. It's not like the information is left there, but we are bombarded with so much information. There's too much information to consume. So the important information gets lost in there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, now we cannot use radio or TV because Tetu Ulid is a chi. Maulide. Tetu Ulid is a TV. It is a radio. Yeah.
I got just music. And yeah, you talked about, Nick, something that stuck out to me that you said, akapande kachemvu. I remember that. Yeah, I remember those.
You remember that? Yeah. Yende wali akapande kano, wonora akapande kachemvu, ogendo babuze.
Family planning or something. Yeah, I think it was family planning. I think it was family planning. But yeah, that's actually a good thing. And we need such things to be back. But it also has to do with a lot of other things, like people where they put their priorities now, Biba Fak or even TV stations, they are competing with each other. So they put some things out the bagala again.
In terms of Tekeo music program at this time, Church in Yomida, Mantu Church. I don't know, there's a time I did stories and I was like, guys, let us bring back UBC. Mm-hmm. Do you know that the times that remember seeing at DSTV, and I was just like, I'm kidding, guys, because I avoided the winners at DSTV. But that time, Omani automatically said to UBC, wait, Masangako programs over with me. Got to show farmers how to improve their crop yield, how to what number carried about you.
Yeah.
See, we have the information hidden, Banange. Got the programs there. They are showing towards Uganda's independence. They were showing Uganda's history. They were showing us about like the regime. They were showing us about it. And that's when I showed that story of my friend's sister who thought that Obote 1 was a cousin to Obote 2. Did she know it was the same person?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys, we need to go back to UBC. Like, let us watch it so that we can get information about our country. So when you talk about priorities, and you say that it also depends on the priorities, honestly, our priorities are totally different lately.
That is true. But also on the same note, some person responds like one of their neighbors got a free gas cooker through the government. Simani Jabe,
Do you know when I posted, I found like people told me, oh yes, government has been giving out gas. Yes, it's an initiative by government to stop people from cutting down trees or kocha manda. My friend, I thought it was a different country. She told me Nedda. I got so many other people telling me, oh, what did Ochimani?
Yeah.
Bari mugaba gas cylinders, nebu hot plates. No, nebu gas plates or way.
Yeah.
To prevent people from deforestation. Can you imagine?
I didn't know about that either.
Let's say only like 8 out of 100 people told me that they had heard about it. They knew about it.
Wow. When I read that, I was like, oh, Nalimba, that's not in Uganda. But
exactly. Even when I said, obviously, I will understand because you're not in Uganda. I wanted to see if I can add an image. But I can't, unfortunately, so that you could see that and attach it for maybe your people. But yeah, it's there.
But the other part that I wanted to focus on too, not the only part I want to focus on, this was the one thing you mentioned about holding men accountable. That hit me too. Like, that is something I never thought about. And I remember when I read your story, I was at work and I told my friends, like, Sichiro Ozangako, like, I've never actually thought about it. Like, men will go out there, impregnate a woman, na mulekao, and nobody's going to hold them accountable. Now this guy will be like, tata umana yoyo. Like, she's struggling.
Yeah. He's moving up and down. Like, it's not like ye kwese, my friend. No, it's not like ye kwese, bamunonya, yale so mwana wabandi ngalirubuto. No. He continues to live his life. And we've seen it all our lives. We've grown up with it, and do you realize we've let it pass as the norm?
Yeah.
That here it would be, and if you said that, oh, natutia tata waba na mukoti wa mutampa buyam, people would be like, vanai. I think now it was a susa. Like, it would, that, what's not normal is you taking the man to court to demand for child support.
Child support.
What's normal is the man impregnating 7 different women, not supporting any of them. Yeah, that is, even as a woman, you don't even think that you can take this person and demand for child support. The first thing that comes to your head is vanange. I'm a single mother, vane kandavira mana vange. Like, if that burden falls on the women.
Yeah.
And it's the automatic thing to do. It's what we go to naturally.
Yeah.
We just, default setting is, it's okay. Genda, kandavira mana vange. And if there's a life where...
Yeah.
A man is not, my God, there are countries where that man is not allowed to be a deadbeat. For as long as you live and you're working, that paycheck has to come in.
I'll tell you right now, in America, one of my friends, but he had a child when he was 19 with a girl. I think she was 18. And they were just playing around and they end up getting pregnant and they knew they were not going to be able to stay together. So
what do you mean playing around and they got pregnant? Were they playing Scrabble? Then she left that Scrabble board and she was pregnant. Were they playing chess? Then she, please use the right words. They had sex and the result was pregnant.
No, yeah.
Because those are the results.
No, of they sex. Had they had sex. Yeah, I'm not scared to say they had sex, but
oh yeah, when you say playing around, I don't want people to think that Baba Debe Pena,
yeah.
Omunagwa, then she got pregnant and said, oops.
Yeah. When I said playing around, obviously they had sex to have a child. But when I said playing around, by Tebali movie, you're serious. But yeah, they just hang out. Tebali serious.
Yeah.
And then she got pregnant. So, and then they realized, oh, we're not meant to be together. They never took into accountability what's the consequences.
Yeah.
Baokana, this guy is working on more tiger than your collar. Like, now, yeah, because it's in the US, you are accountable as a father to pay this child support.
Yeah.
On a guy, neokubuli molimo guakola, government sentence, saria keringa, tanabana zikuatako.
Like,
his child support is taken out of his paycheck before it even gets to his bank account with direct deposit. Yeah. So that's like a thing here. Like, the child support is like real serious. Why not this asula? So I think that's something that could be the only challenge I see in Uganda. Until sometimes I want to send about funa cash. Nobody's gonna hold him accountable for like paying child support.
Yeah.
But like I know,
but even betumani, do you know how many say people we know, like abakolamu bank, let's say politicians, MPs, ministers, commissioners, bankers, mm-hmm. like you know they're getting their salary through the bank, right?
Right.
How many of them do we know ngalina abananga kumi, right?
Mm-hmm.
And or even 20 with different women, batalabirira, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that, and like you don't like no bogenda no gamba mukama we that this person impregnated me and left me. Bakolerechi.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even about that fact that people receive cash,
right.
Even those that we know, like probably, properly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was saying, that no one is holding these people accountable. Muba muchima yeo yogundi. Yetata wagundi by the way. Like that.
And they can hold them accountable. Kubanga nebula babyedda. I remember, I don't know how many people will be able to remember this. They would come to your house. Never kunonya. Paka wasa suwa musolo.
Bajita. See your panda gari.
Yeah, panda.
Isn't that kind of guy where you had to have like a green card?
A green card thing in your wallet. Yeah,
in your wallet 24/7?
Yep. Ngaba kuno
onye. Bata niwaba kwata. Yes. Ngaba niwaba kwata waneno. Webati niwaba mbusa kumoto.
Yeah. So if that system could work, I know people would hide and see, but till at some point bakufuna. If that system could work, it could be implied too. Never call this a system weto. Never kuno onye.
Even you and Ibadote, people would not have sex recklessly.
Right.
Right. Even you, as you're going in, you know that, my entire life could change based off of this child.
Right.
Like right now, you know, Bonnie, like you know that before you have sex right now, mess around with a girl, you know what that could mean for you.
Yeah.
You know that you cannot even afford divorce. Because it's freaking expensive.
Right.
Because, yeah, you're messing around with a girl. That means that probably your wife might divorce you, which is freaking expensive. You're messing around with a girl, or you're going to have a child with her and you're not going to marry her. That's child support. That means they're taking out from the check that you and your family could be making.
Right.
So that means you're going to work like 1,000 times more to be able to take care of your family.
Right.
Because of one night.
Yeah. One night stand.
In so what we wouldn't have that reckless if we had accountability.
Exactly. And one of the responses we don't have names, but one of the responses I took out of that was like the issue of men abandoning their children should not be acceptable. Please think about inviting child welfare experts in Uganda, like National Children Authority. They even have a helpline of 116. And Human Rights Commission to educate women.
I didn't understand if this person was in Uganda.
Nange search to get there too. I don't know if that.
When they said Mubarete to Basuwing, I said, you're responding as a Ugandan living in Uganda, Uba.
Yeah. Also, the other thing that a bunch of people kept talking about is like how, like the one of holding fathers accountable. Like, my ex-husband has not sent a dime for at least school fees in the last 7 years. And he's living his best life, posting drinks and food places every day. What kills me is like he talks about the twins to every person that listens.
Yeah.
Like indeed, no one's coming to save you. Nainga tayna support.
Nainga, he's not giving those children anything.
Right. That hurts. And there's another one that you said, that somebody said, like, they want a future where both men and women plan for their child birth and raising, and people are just having kids claiming that God will take care of them.
That one, my friend, that one is a lot. A lot of people, if you notice, people, our age mates are not quickly having kids.
Mm-hmm.
You get tebanguye having a man the way it was with our parents.
Yeah.
Because I feel like our generation being the bridge, being the one that was transitioning from the world as we knew it to now a world of technology, and a lot of things have hit us.
Mm-hmm.
I know no one told our parents how to hustle or how to be men and how to be mothers and fathers. But I feel like at feel much at you. I think that's why this is a generation that has had increased awareness on mental health, because you realize the day you speak up, you realize so many of you are going through the same thing.
Exactly.
This is the first generation where we've reached our 30s without children. And I feel like it's been intentional on the part of so many of my age mates, both men and women. It's been intentional. Some maybe fertility issues, others, you know, different reasons. But there are so many who have been intentional about not having children until they are in a certain place to be able to afford children. But I want to tell you that I will even start with myself. A lot of them are actually paying black tax. A lot of them are taking care of relatives because they're like, but toina mwana, like toina namchala, gola bididani. And women have our own parents themselves, because now we've left home, they are lonely. They're like, oh, naleso mwana wa anko wogu ndibana ange, tomweyo, mumweyo school fees.
Exactly.
If a parent has, let's say, four kids and they've all made it out, this one works here, another lived abroad, another does. You see your mother in a family group saying, contribute for this. The church is constructing this, contribute.
Mm-hmm.
By so and so's daughter is getting married, contribute. You see your parents are there in WhatsApp groups asking you for contribution.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, so and so's child is going back to school. Never dem go to Jamua Emitwala Satu. To Jamua Emitwala Satu. But Akugamba to Jamua Emitwala Satu ne Gomulabida. Mwaba Mulabida. You're putting bills together to take care of your parent who is also telling people.
I feel that on a personal level when you shared that, like, that's the reason why I went off WhatsApp, Yen Songa Rachi Navak WhatsApp, like, and I have a soft heart that I want to help people. You know, mutimo gwagalo kuyamba. But at some point or two kanalanga na wechikule mede dinga buliomu atukida uwo buliomu atukida uwo, and it just started killing me and making me, like, sad, because you can't help this person.
So, resentful and angry. And some will even say, abera weru, taina mwana. Femunewa. So then others, now they'll even start telling you, I know mwana.
I remember about Wampele Zangam, and I recorded an episode about this. Like, people would send me budget zembaga. Kumu kumu. Even the person that last talked to you in 5 years ago. Kafuni number, ya WhatsApp. Ino ngenda kuwasa. He budget, you know, and then they will just say,
yeah,
you, like,
that's... So, that's what you're talking about. Oh, mbaga chie yo jota sobola. Racho kole mbaga jota sobola. Okuta wanya bantu.
Exactly.
Eh? Why don't you do a wedding that you can afford? Like, why don't you look in your bank balance, you and your wife to be, and you ask, kwenye umeka, njine mituwala atana, tegwe, njine akakade. What can 1.5 do for us? Oulida.
Mm-hmm.
Ntia zija kola yo babeki, yo tufumbira bantu sausage ne cabbage. Mutufumbire sausage ne cabbage to J.
Mm-hmm.
Uchitegera. A future where people do things that they can afford, have children that you can afford. You know, we can only, when we change, you know, tuwade tuchita mabali, change tuwa mantuwa kuzala habana, bivasobola, eh? Tuchita mabali, because as Ugandans, we are such nice people. Uchitegera.
Mm-hmm.
We are not, when someone, I remember the first time someone said it. I remember the time I sat down when I was in Nairobi, talking about someone who had made a statement like, poor people have no business having kids. Eh?
Yeah.
And we were divided on, they are right. And our other friends, some ladies from Kenya, like, no, you guys, the things you do not say, you can't say that. But I'm like, honestly, if you still have the chance to not, because before, remember how our mothers, they were in a birth control.
Mm-hmm.
They were just having children, gabari helpless, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, health center for Webesoboro Kusamu IUD.
Yep.
Eh?
Mm-hmm.
If they can do that, then tugezeko nyo kuzala abana betusobola, and that is even starts with me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Now who is probably in the US, where people in Uganda back home look at you as you as if you've made it out of the ghetto. You've not, because when it comes to the US standards, you have no business having 10 children if you cannot afford them.
That's a fact. Mm-hmm.
You don't. Even me here, I have no business having children that I'm going to ask you to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfair. It's unfair to each and everyone around you.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And about to move away about, like you said it earlier, bakuteka mu budget yawe, like bakuplaninga irako, ah ono gundi anamuyamba anko ali mu America anamuyamba.
So, but you die and people start sharing your kids and splitting up of kati, aha ani agendo twala bana abata babiri, ani agendo twala banze nja twala omukuru kati ataba nani agendo batwala abana bone bakulanga in different homes. Even your children will never be at the same level, because eliye yatwaliddwa omugagga eliye yatwaliddwa omwavu. Children were divided up, and you know, like pieces of meat.
And I know, like, before we leave that point of holding men accountable about things, abasajja bangi nyo, like there's a lot of fellow men out there that like this saying, oh, musajja mugante bambalira bana. If you're able to say that, better make sure you're taking care of those kids.
You can't get to kubali da ne sente just kubali. Kubali da man tuwalala.
Right.
Gund shopping list zava na ko. Umsanjo Muganda te bambali da shopping list tabali da man tuwalala shopping list zava na.
Exactly. But yeah, that's a thing that we need to talk about, and people need to hear about, and I love talking.
And I'm always advocating for it, because
yeah.
I'm always telling, recently I came, there's a time I said that, you know what, we cannot leave our health in the hands of men.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, you know, it's still, I was coming from a point of helplessness, that when I, to be, to chivareke de chin to chino, but to chivareke da, when you try to involve, because guess what, how many women, like even me, dating, you sleep with a guy in the morning, he asks you, Omize postina, make sure that Omize postina, how about you? Eh? How about you go koze watch?
Exactly.
Besides making sure that Ombade postina naka gira sika mazinga sina vauo, to ensure that you are not trapped into, because men use words like, she trapped me. You've heard that statement, right?
Yeah.
She trapped, yansibo rubuto. Nakusanga mwenga webas, you were just sleeping, your penis was erect in peace, then I fell on it, then I got pregnant on my own. Lile an ambush for you. As you are passing, that she lay under bush and I fell into her vagina. No, you understand. But also having realized that these people do not care. So this shows that even us, we need to be responsible for reproduction. Even if your man is there saying he wants 6 children, in case this man died, how many can I manage? How many can I take care of absolutely? And how many can my health allow? How many can my mental health allow? How many children can I have before I start getting so many things being wrong with my body? How many can I take care of if I was alone and something happened to my husband and he lost his job or died or something? So we cannot leave it in your hands, because if reproductive health is left in the responsibility of men, to the responsibility of men, to go out for to go, because it's so easy for the man to say that, ha, I want 6 children, right?
Mm-hmm.
But 6 children, do you know that things that the female body goes through to bring forth a child?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah, actually, speaking of that, I wanted to pass this. I don't think I've ever talked about it, because most people now, they know. Yeah, at the beginning, you told me about my daughter. Being in America, auntie, here, men would go to, I went to the hospital with my wife when she's giving birth. So I saw the process from beginning to the end. And when men go, but like, I feel like if most men went through that process.
But lately, there's a new generation of men. They are present.
Yeah.
Second about is that there are some. There's a new generation of some men who are present. Agenda nawe, nakulaba bichi, na manyanti ha.
Yeah. But I feel like if most men would see the process, I think for me personally, I would speak to myself like, that's not a joke. Like, you put respect on those women that give birth. Yeah. Like, it's life or death, first of all. It's so freaking painful. Like, I still, I don't know how many men out there who would say, ah, it's nja big me, like it's a lot of pain. Men, but like in hard times, sometimes some of us, we will be like, yeah, but you get to some point, and a lot of people, I think men should experience that. A lot of men should go through that experience to see what women actually go through, the process they go through to give birth, to have a child. Maybe their perspective of how they treat them would change, or how they think about them, like, would change. But yeah, that, I think that will change a lot of our guys' mind. Speaking of that same topic we're on, holding men accountable, there's a lot of people who talked about sexual harassment from their workplaces. And one of the persons says, we have no dignity. You can be disrespected by your employer, workmates, or even clients. And you just home crying. Then you get back the next day and then work with all smiles and ready to engage. And while all of this, you better not fall sick, because you may not even have the money to go to a specialist or even counseling or things like that. And this sexual harassment thing, it also still comes with men. Men, like, to touch you appropriately, just having a permission, or to do things that are going to mess with your head. And women have to deal with all this.
Olava, the funny thing is, in Uganda, when we talk of sexual harassment, people imagine that, oh, they asked you for sex or they touched you. People don't realize that no kuwemula is sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have, at my workplace, too, in a full training for about sexual harassment. Even it can be man to a man, woman to woman, or it can be words, it can be touching, it could be, like, yeah.
Yeah. Now people think that, ah, simukuteko, but they are being vulgar. You know, people say things like, kanina nene marangufuna, just to jump ye chiro chimu. They don't realize that that's sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize that omuntu nebwaba aine chimu gudde wano. You don't just...
Mm-hmm.
So most times I find it so, when it happens with, like, say, a male, and nendo laba, koze bugati. I'm always like, and you see, for them, it's normal. They do this, then continue jazzing. And for me, I'm just like in a back of, oh my God. Yeah. You could have just told me that there's something here.
Mm-hmm.
Eh? But then also, being vulgar in workplaces, there's so much vulgarity. And people don't realize that. And that is both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Because I cannot say that wemula is just reserved for the men. No, even women. To wemula, you see, let me tell you, like, both they think it's jibozi, but it's, you know?
Yeah.
But also, there's lots of sexual harassment. I remember, like, about 3 years ago or two, there's a lady who came out about sexual harassment from her boss and whatnot, and the world mocked that woman. I remember, was it over Obanka Auditor General's office, over judiciary, over where? Chala Nayogera, and people are just like the world mocked her. The world really mocked her. Those are things, I feel like it's one of those things that, you know, the Me Too movement, I don't think it reached here in terms of workplace sexual harassment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But if one day I ran a story of share a story of work sexual harassment that has ever happened to you, I know that we will have chills.
Yeah.
We will have chills. Instead, that's what you're saying, Gambe. Because people are doing it of oyagala mulimo. And you see, you might think that it's only done to people who are meek and mute and don't speak up. You see me here, and kaza. You can see people like me, like, now we're doing our mtandikira. We face it daily, and you keep quiet.
Right.
People, you know, like, did you see someone who said that, I am so sad because I'm a lawyer myself, but I know that I would never get justice, certain justice.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yeah,
but you see a lawyer, a lawyer cannot be sexually harassed because we have a money work. But guess what? Someone shared a story of a partner of theirs, I think, who sexually harassed someone. They even put them at case. She's like, I saw how the partners really tried to bail this person out to, you know, to like, like prevent the to like hide protect the face of the farm. Neba Mujayo, he's living his best life. Nengambe chichi. He's like, I look at that girl and I'm like, my heart breaks for her.
All right.
So, are we ready for this conversation on work sexual harassment in Uganda? Are we?
I was going to say earlier that when you put out these stories, you read these stories from people, like from their heart. Omuntu osobola okulaba omutima gwe through the words they're typing out. And I'm sure when you post that, when you ever run a story of sexual harassment, it will be like too deep, too much that you can even handle, even reading and just feeling sorry for what's going on that we don't know, or people get chebasiriki de because it's just too heavy for them in their heads too. But I think this is the story you were talking about when this person said, I know of four guys walking peacefully who have raped women and nothing was done to them. Court dismissed the case because there was no evidence. And society is putting blame on the ladies who seducing men. People no longer know the meaning of no. And I have never heard of a hospital that take rape tests, and how sure I am that someone won't bribe the nurse that the evidence will be lost. Don't get me started on domestic violence. As for child support, either way, dump as they maliciously refer to it. The precious child on the father or mother suffers in silence. And I'm here being afraid for you. Just know, because you've spoken and I'm scared for you. Oh, that's the person who said they was scared because of this topic. But like, there's literally no freedom of speech in the country, and the future is in a dark place. I don't even know where to start getting help from. So you read things like that. I'm like, somebody raped these people, and because they don't have evidence. But it's not kubanga, the evidence is there, and they ain't got money. So
I mean, let me tell you something. It's so funny that omuntu ayinza kutomera, like my sister sometime was omuntu, a drunk person, driving a certain car for a certain department, yamutomera bumper yonane gwao, and never genda. She went to cheer police, never jail footage, nga footage ajidaba, the person was actually drunk because yali agenda tomere moto kenda rezali yao. They were driving badly. And I remember I told myself, it's okay to get a munonya. We go to Mbuya and we tell them, because even I know that that is indiscipline. They're not supposed to be driving on a Sunday morning drunk. Let's go to Mbuya. And I got the number. I remember when she went there, her, the person who was around who handled her case told her, hey, onotumanyi, yo mwami avera wano na wano na eha. Sise, choto genda kumala ako gendo kani kise motoka yo motima mlonji.
Wow.
So that kind of helplessness, that's where I was coming from when I read those stories, that evidence weri, camera weziri, they replayed buli omwachiraba. Matogena mukolachi. And that's why when I came, I told people, let us learn to stay in our what? In our lane. And then someone who told me that, let us not tell people to hide, because for how long are they going to hide, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but as opposed to what?
Yeah.
As opposed to what? Over you, you get it. Because the truth is, when evidence is there, so don't, you know, let no one say that there was no, when someone can choose to tell you there was no evidence, but you're like, but nalabye, you get. And like, I'm telling you there was no evidence. And you read between the lines. So evidence is there, the footage is there, whatever, but what are you going to do?
Yep.
So that's why I keep telling people that wanange tetu damu kwewaga. Do not be misled. Do not let ego do that whole kankulage who I am. Kankufume to kore tuti. Because at the end of the day, when I was defrauded of land, guy when alage bifananyi, his colleague even told the person who was investigating, oh, yomchala mujukida. Yaja no mami omunene. No more sente zali mukabira ka black erom saje azisa mu bisawo bebiti like bamu mani wetu batumaga tumufuna. However, this is the thing, when agenda ku police nga they like, oh, let me twalo 10 to tracking a number, aha kati yajichusiza yaze ku Airtel basha. That's when I said, oh my god, that's when I said, you know what, the money that I've lost is already
enough
let me find ways to work through it. Kanyende nkabe okumalo mwaka kankabe vinaku kankole bulichimu, and I find ways to heal and get over it, because I realize that ngenda kuongera ku spending a cent endala ateze sikola chi zesirina nyenchita, but he's there, I'm sure he's still doing it.
And that's
so it's not like a manjebali too many jebali baba mani bulunji know that this one did this, this one does this, this one does that. It's not sometimes the thieves are known. Abantu ababa, abantu ababa mani. My friend told me a funny story of she's like a guy akera natwale number plates zawe mu chikomera. She goes to, they go to police. They call that guy. The guy leaves a number. Munkubireko. They call that guy. He's like, muteke go wa vitizi, teka kemi tuwale tano, owa RAV4, ateke ko kumi. Each of them was given money according to their car, the car that they drive. Ezo kuteka ku number yomopi. Akomeo number plate. Then they went to police. Police said, police puts in the number in mobile money. Oh, kana kulia, akana kulia jazireta. Muzimu weleze senta, jazireta number plate zamu. And indeed, it was kana kulia yali abye number plates. So, police, I ended up mina muzimu we. And yeah, ne wagena ne mune, you know how you, police tells you, oh, ya jazi, bambi taina ampisi ambisi, ingo, abade jemba. Jemba teyanzi, that's when ingane senta azitute. Neka na akulia muntu mulamu ajakola ti.
Ajakuzileta.
Ajakuzileta. And indeed they sent mobile money to kana akulia. Number plate kana akulia na waga kare mgende wali nge wali kasa, wali wewa ti musituro yu kasa siro zili ya wansi. And they got their number plates.
So like this, some of these people work.
Kana akulia nga waga ate kwa kumposo liwa waka jawa jawa liyo ito izafuga yu moto kwa yu moto kwa yu moto kwa yu. He told the husband. Yemutu kwa na jofu gokabo tia mtu ina mituwaru kumi monsao.
Oh my God. I know that thing happened to my brother back in the when he got back on license plate. Ne was to wala. Yeru akuwa ya gamba. Ah, yezu ngina zile kangina fune. Ndala nage na govenda over. I don't know how easy it was to get a new one, but it's so sad that these people are working with the police itself. Baba mani. Ninga na wote wai na cha chiko leo. Like,
hey.
Yeah. It's really a tough, tough topic and tough situation, and you run out of things. Katin zeng kolent. Bobanga ne joduki yato genda funa yabo yambi kato genda kolot. Like nothing.
You know of try to avoid situations. Which take it? Mino bitwa embo kulugudo sija kuwa space. I'm the one with the right of way. Right of way where ya? Tucharina right of way. Tucharina. Somewhere, why one is a right of way? Never yambo no go stands a roundabout here in a right of way. But kenda kusanga o bakuto merere o atete tugenda kwa ya doruata no fixing a motor car. So avoid situations where toina centers are fixing a motor car, but go because omuntu agenda kuto merenge evidence weri, but to call it to forget to COVID. So that's why I'm telling people when every intern to be able to avoid things, to be avoiding. Leave us orphans. Leave us orphans. In this country, live as orphans because our we're truly.
Yeah. But there's also one person, too, that was kind of on the other side of everything that we just talked about. And you shared this story. She shared like three reasons why we shouldn't avoid conflict. It's kind of, I was reading it trying to understand what we're in, about the point through that. But I wanted us to talk about it and to, for you to tell me what you took out of that. She says she doesn't agree for a number of reasons. Say, while it's true that there's a lot of injustice and people being taken advantage of, I don't believe that the best course of action is to shrink and into a shell and try to avoid trouble.
That was actually a gentleman. We talked at length about that.
And then they say, to me, that's subjecting yourself to live in fear. Speaking up and standing up for yourself is not only the right thing to do, but it's a desirable option. Don't get me wrong, there are some fights that are not worth exploring. It's better if you try outrightingly avoid conflict, but sometimes conflict will find you, and when it does, you need to know how to maneuver. It's important to know how to negotiate your way through or out of conflict or a situation where someone is trying to take advantage of you. That was the first reason that he says that. I see his point, or I see what he's trying to say. But I disagree with him too about not speaking up. Like, I don't know. Kati umuntu wa kole chibi.
You speak up. Have you left a will? Have you left someone come and buy food for your children? Like, where are you touching? Speak up as well. Again, this is why I most times I was asking these people that before we continue this interaction, where are you sending this message from?
Right.
If you're sending this message from Minnesota,
yeah,
from Alberta, from Simanyanga, Bilerica, Massachusetts,
yeah,
from wherever in, like, you don't have business telling Ugandans to speak up against injustice.
Right.
Even you, Basha, right now cannot sit there and start telling you, in the comfort of your studio with probably a different passport from mine.
Yeah. Kati which idea solution joins over.
Me, I said, you know that song of you got to know when to hold them, know when to hold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. It's just that's it. Know when to hold your cards, know when to fold. Know when to walk away. Know and say that, like, it's like a gambler. I think that song is called The Gambler.
Mm-hmm.
As when you're gambling, know when to walk away. Know that, Chino, I cannot add more money. This round here is gone. Kangende waka, today was not a good day, right? Mm-hmm. So know when to speak up.
Yeah.
Know when to you know, confront conflict. Bisomebe obidabim, and know when to walk away. But lately, for me, I've been doing a lot of walking away. And then when they say you can't avoid conflict, right? But also I'm learning to know which to choose my battles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning to choose my battles. And that even includes on my platform, as big as it is, because there are places I walk into and someone is like, oh, I follow you. And I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect anyone here. So it matters so much how I use it, because tomorrow ojagenda kunsindikira ka DM gatonda ba ngabangamba ngaba you were here telling me I love how you use your platform to talk about these things. Ngatena, will you be able to find that platform again? Know when to fold, know when to walk away, know when to tackle certain things. Someone will say that that's living like a coward. It's okay. I will even make a t-shirt and put the word coward here and wear it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The third reason, I'll get to the third reason, which I connected with him, Ngagamba and T. The third reason is that it's not true that when people do terrible things, they get away with it. People pay. We might not be able to know how they paid, but they pay. God, like somewhere, somehow, they pay for all the wrong things they've done to people. So I thought about that, but yeah, we might never know. But then
Tetugenda kolima, because I've seen us saying kale. You've seen how people have a rich uncle that they say, then your uncle continues to thrive, live his best life. I want us to also know that there are times that bad people get away with bad things. So I don't think I want to even lie to you that I hold my breath for God to punish people, or that these people will be punished. There's a chance that they might walk into the sunset. So I better heal myself and not have any expectations of karma, or that they won't get away with it. Sometimes they get away with it. Most times they get away with it.
Yeah, that's sad. Chinumo chirozako wento na ye. Sometimes
it also helps you with the heartache. It helps you. It prevents you from having the heartache.
Yeah, that's right. Prima, I appreciate you. I know I've kept you here for like 1 hour, almost 20 minutes. But it's good to talk about that. At least, actually, when I started this recording, I had about these topics. But I've left this place, changed some of those things I had in my head. Especially the things you talk about. Like somebody, mu lions oba kumulya, like you know gorilla
Yeah.
yagenda kubeera mu zi SCs
But the
zo.
most you can do for them is donate, maybe let's donate to this cause. Nemu donating $30 and $100, but
Right.
ne, this person probably narika family ye. Then you move on to the next person who is speaking up. Nene mu donating either $30 or $40 or $50. You check it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different. Like reality and what you see is like we are, what's on ground and what you're seeing are two different things. So.
Yeah,
Yeah, know when to walk away.
Yeah.
Know when to walk away.
No one to walk away and choose the battles you can fight. Jo abango jisobola yirumbe. Bwato jisobola jireke. So, but yeah, I know all the other responses, even if we've not read them, at least we've touched on each one of them and people who get knocked and they can't do anything about it. Injustice. But I'm happy that you shared this topic, and I'm going to put it out. I wanted people to listen to some of the things you might not have been able to say to Instagram because of the time or the limits that they have for you to do there. I thought it would be a good podcast, so take Ayo, so people can hear you explain these things and the reason why you said something small that you put up there, or the reason why you chose to even pull this out there. And hopefully it will change somebody out there.
Thank you.
Just second, I liked your new hairstyle. That was it's a good,
thank you.
Good choice. Not about, I saw the whole process when you guys were changing the hairstyles.
Thank you.
Like, I like, and it fits you perfect. I know who said it. Yadia Gamba, you resembled, what's her name? This,
my friend called me Cisco.
Cisco Negundiono, Yadia Munchalawa with Khalifa, and they have a kid with Amber Rose. Someone,
yes.
One of those girls, either Fiona or Wagundi, Yahuita, Amber Rose, or people on the stories. But yeah, that was fun. And thanks you for you for your platform. That Nango Tufunamwe Bioko Gera, Nebioku, you guess. So I salute you and I appreciate that. Manye Uzo Bientoroku Zabantunga. When I bring back somebody for the second time, I don't ask them the
signature. Before, no, even if you don't ask me, I'm going to tell you, I am obsessed with that guy of the animation.
Yeah.
Nagambo munonye, vane munonye, I'm waiting.
Ivan King, is it the Ivan King Uganda? Some yeah. I know you shared his story. Yeah.
I feel like it's a team of probably young people, and they're doing something so tremendous, something amazing. I look forward to the Avant King or
Avant King. Something like that.
I love it. Banonye, kwe gaidi
devan. Definitely. I've started tapping into Abanta Bakola, the kind of stuff. I just finished the episode Nono Guy. Yakoze Kiza's motto was a cool, cool movie representing Uganda called Disney Plus. It was
Is
amazing.
It
yeah, it's it came out July 5th. It was amazing to hear Luganda spoken on Disney Plus, like the whole world hearing that. So I had an interview with him. Yeah, it's out. Nina Guy Omalagwe recommending. I think he's in Canada now, but he's Ugandan. Ganeakola animation. So I've really loved this. I like it that when I tap into a career, because when I turn into a photographer, but photographer never recommending other people. So I like tapping into that. So it would be amazing to interview.
Yeah, it's to see what the young people in Uganda are
exactly.
doing, the young Ugandans are doing,
and
to see how far the country has come.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a good. This shows a potential of what we could have. Anyway, as we end this, I really, I am still going to call upon people to love this country. Like it's the only way we can change it, because I keep saying that the American. I don't know if you know that when you celebrate 4th of July, it's America. There was the American War of Independence. I think of 1774. We saw the Belgian Revolution of, I think that was like 1830s there. Then the Mau Mau Rebellion of Kenya, I think 1950, right? So most places have been built on love and patriotism. Even the great states that we know, I don't know if you've ever taken time, I don't know if you have an American passport or a Ugandan passport, but if you have an American passport or take time to see one, you'll see the things that are written in your passport. I've had time to read it and see how the Americans, the founding fathers of that great, 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 you know, nation, talk about their country, one nation under God, and yeah. we will not hesitate an enemy both within and over outside the United States. Well, you understand, it's a country founded on love. For, you know, you've seen, I know that Republicans really, really feel so passionately for their country. Sometimes they become extremists, but they do. They do love their country. Democrats, like these people love their country, right?
Yeah.
Even when it comes to, even when you look at people like Hitler, they once loved their countries, right? Mussolini, like they were angry at how maybe the Versailles Peace Treaty treated them. And they're like, let's now go back and have another Second World War. So people have done things for their countries. Patriotism has done things for their country. Some have been bad, but most of them have been good. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. So if we don't love our country, we will not take it to our next level. And I know most times I always tell people, I know I'm asking for too much.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I'm asking for too much, but hear me out. Every country that we see that has come up to somewhere, it's because there's someone that loved it. Someone loved that country. I mean, Che Guevara, like all these people, the nationalists, they've loved their countries to, you know, to push them to where they are. So I don't want us to hate Uganda, because I know that a bit more sometimes biji to chaisa, but I don't want us to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want us to do that. Yeah. Like azale chibi achi won't get it, eh? To won't get it,
eh? Yeah. I like that throughout this recording of Adot Wengero is all Uganda. Like even some Bagandas, they don't even know these things.
I am obsessed with the Baganda. Yeah. I am. Listen, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed. I love how those people raise their children. Have you met Baganda in the diaspora? Like there's some that I've seen who are in the diaspora, but they still instill the culture in their children.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like you find that Omwana Rina Manya Ana Nancy Kombi Narubega and like Sengendo. Like three names of Luganda, Umana, Tauga, Uganda, Tamani, Uganda, but I know Manya Gobuanga, like three of them on their passport, then something like Michaela. I'm always like, thank you for carrying a piece of home with you.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something I look forward to and something I like, I appreciate. I want to train my daughter to know where, like, Luganda and Uganda and teach them at least everything I know about Uganda, and that's what I look forward to. So.
It's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. Like culture. I feel like when we started to try to be cool, omanyi twaleka nyo culture, and then in came more erosion. But I like that. But now I like to learn. You know, there was a time where you grow up and you become a teenager, like, sure, I can't kneel down to greet people. But then now as an adult, I kneel down to greet people because I'm like, chinzi chakochi.
Yeah.
It won't take anything. And it's okay if someone else disagrees. It's okay for, you know, like, for wokeness to tell us that, oh, but it's a culture, you understand? Mm-hmm. So when I go, my culture, Banyankore, we don't kneel. But when I visit my friends whose parents are Baganda, I kneel down and greet them. Right. Because for them, they're a sign of what?
Respect.
And trust me, my legs have not been broken. My color has not changed. Nothing has changed.
Yeah.
And I pride in what makes us Ugandans. Mm-hmm. Like our culture, our morals. We are really known for good morals, you know. Like, so tuakajatu chuke, tuakajatu ingire mogu isaiso.
Anyway, Prem Webare Nyo, thank you very much. I'm glad we were able to do this. I can't wait for people to listen to this episode.
Thank you for having me.
All right, let's keep in touch and keep giving us more resources to use or to talk about.
Thank you, Kale. Have a nice evening.
Yeah, evening. Sawa munana.
Kale, bye.
All right, bye. Hey there, this is Bonnie Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with a friend and recommend somebody to this podcast. Don't forget to leave a feedback on this podcast, because that's how we grow. And also don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and comment. Join us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. So we'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much and be blessed.